moment in some solitary place. And the cardinal answered him, "Alas, dearest brother, whither wouldst thou go? This is a time of great scarcity, and thou art not well accustomed to these desert places. Wherefore I beseech thee remain with me, for I account it a singular grace to be permitted to provide for thy wants with the love of God." But Brother Giles, being determined to go, went out of Rome to a high mountain, where there was once been a castle, and where there was now a forsaken church dedicated to St. Lawrence. This he entered with his companion, remaining there in prayer and meditation. They were not known in the place, wherefore little reverence or consideration was shown to them, so that they were in great poverty, and moreover a heavy fall of snow came on, which lasted many days. They could not leave the church, they had no food with them, neither was anything brought them from without, and thus they remained shut up for 3 days and 3 nights. Brother Giles, seeing that he could earn nothing for his livelihood, nor go out to beg alms, said to his companion, "My dearest brother, let us cry aloud to the Lord that of his loving pity he would provide for this our extreme necessity, for we have heard how many holy monks, being in great straits, have called upon God to provide for them in their need." So after their example, these two holy men betook themselves to prayer, beseeching God with all their hearts to provide a remedy for their distress. And God, who is all compassionate, had regard to their faith, devotion, and simplicity in manner following. A certain man, casting his eyes upon the church where Brother Giles and his companion were shut up, said to himself by an inspiration from God, "It may be that some devout person is doing penance in that church, and by reason of the snow he can obtain no supply for his wants, and may perhaps die of hunger." Wherefore, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he said, "Of a surety I will go and see what I imagine to be true or no." So taking bread and a flask of wine, he went his way, and with great difficulty arrived at the church, where he found Brother Giles and his companion most devoutly absorbed in prayer, but so wasted were they with hunger that they looked rather like dead men than living. And he had great compassion for them, and having warmed and comforted them, he returned and told his neighbors of the extremity and necessity of these friars, praying and exhorting them for the love of God to provide for their needs. Many, therefore, after his example, brought them bread and wine for the love of God, besides other things necessary for food, arranging also among themselves that during that whole Lent all things needful were provided for them. And Brother Giles, reflecting on the great mercy of God and the charity of these people, said to his companion, "Dearest brother, hitherto we have prayed to God to provide for our necessities, and he has heard us. Now it behooveth us to give him thanks, and to pray for those who have fed us by their alms, and for all Christian people." And such grace did God grant to the fervor and devotion of Brother Giles, that many, after his example, forsook this blind world, and many who had no vocation to religion did most austere penance in their own homes. Chapter 7 of the Day of the Holy Brother Giles' Death. On the vigil of St. George at the hour of matins, 52 years being now elapsed since he received the habit of St. Francis, the soul of Brother Giles was received by God into the glory of paradise, to wit, on the feast of St. George. Chapter 8. How a holy man, being in prayer, saw the soul of Brother Giles pass to eternal life. A holy man who was praying when Brother Giles passed from this life saw his soul, with a multitude of others newly freed from purgatory, ascend into heaven. And he beheld Jesus Christ with a multitude of angels going to meet the soul of Brother Giles, and so ascending again with all those angels and blessed souls, and with the sound of a most ravishing melody to heaven. Chapter 9. How by the merits of Brother Giles the soul of the friend of a friar preacher was delivered from the pains of purgatory. While Brother Giles was lying sick a few days before his death, a certain friar of St. Dominic became sick unto death. Another friar, who was a friend of his, said to the sick brother, "My brother, I desire, if God permit, that after thy death thou return to me and tell me in what state thou art." And the sick man promised to return if it should be possible. He died on the same day with Brother Giles, and after his death he appeared to the living friar preacher and said, "It is the will of God that I should fulfill my promise. Then said the living man to the dead, How is it with thee? And the dead answered, All is well, for I died on the very day that a holy friar minor named Giles passed from this life, to whom for his great sanctity Christ granted that he should carry with him to holy paradise all the souls that were in purgatory, among whom was I suffering great torment. And now, by the merits of the holy brother Giles, I am delivered from them. And having said this, he forthwith disappeared, and that friar revealed the vision to no man. But after a time the same friar fell sick, and immediately suspecting that God had struck him, because he had not revealed the virtue and the glory of brother Giles, he sent for the friars minor, and they came to him, 10, 2 by 2, and they being gathered together with the friars preachers, he declared to them with great devotion the aforesaid vision. And diligent inquiry having been made, it was found that the two had indeed passed from this life on one and the same day. Chapter 10. How God gave special graces to Brother Giles and of the year of his death. Brother Bonaventura of Bagno Reggio said of Brother Giles that God had given him special graces, not only for himself, but for all those also who should recommend themselves to him with a devout intention in any spiritual need. He wrought many miracles both in his lifetime and after his death, as appeareth by his legend, and he passed from this life on the feast of St. George in the year 1252. He is buried in Perugia in the convent of the Friars Minor. Part 4. Here begin the chapters of certain instructions and notable sayings of Brother Giles. Chapter 1. Of Vices and Virtues. The grace of God and the virtues which flow therefrom are a way and a ladder that leadeth to heaven. But vices and sins are a ladder and a way that leadeth to the depths of hell. Vices and sins are a venomous and a mortal poison, but virtues and good works are a salutary medicine. One grace leadeth on to another, and one vice leadeth on to another. Grace asketh not to be praised, and vice cannot endure to be despised. The mind reposeth tranquility and humility, of whom patience is daughter. Holy purity of heart seeth God, and true devotion enjoyeth him. If thou lovest, thou shalt be loved. If thou servest, thou shalt be served. If thou fearest, thou shalt be feared. If thou doest good to others, fitting it is that others should do good unto thee. But blessed is he who truly loves and desireth not to be loved again. Blessed is he who serves and desireth not to be served. Blessed is he who doeth good to others and desireth not that others should do good to him. But because these things are most sublime and high perfection, therefore they that are foolish cannot understand them nor attain thereto. Three things there are that are very sublime and very profitable, which he who has once acquired shall never fail. The first is, that thou bear willingly and gladly, for the love of Jesus Christ, every affliction that shall befall thee. The second is, that thou humble thyself daily in everything thou doest, and in everything thou seest. The third is, that thou love faithfully with all thy heart that invisible and supreme good, which thou canst not behold with thy bodily eyes. Those things which are most despised and decried by worldly men are most truly pleasing and acceptable to God and to his saints. And those things which are most loved and esteemed and are most pleasing in the eyes of worldly men are most despised, condemned, and hated by God and by his saints. This foul disorder proceedeth from human ignorance and malice. For wretched man loveth most those things which he ought to hate, and hateth those which he ought to love. Said Brother Giles one day to another friar, Tell me, dearest brother, is thine a good soul? And the brother answered, I know not. Then Brother Giles, My brother, I would have thee to know that the things which make a soul good and blessed are holy contrition, holy humility, holy charity, holy devotion, and holy joy. Chapter 2. Of Faith. All those things which can be thought with the heart, or spoken with the tongue, or seen with the eyes, or felt with the hands, are as nothing in comparison with those which we can neither think, nor see, nor touch. all the saints and wise men who have passed away, and all those who are now in this present life, and all those who shall come after us, all those who have spoken or written, or shall speak or write of God, shall never be able to show forth so much of him as a grain of millet in comparison with the whole extent of heaven and earth, nay, 1,000,000 times less. For all that is written of God is but as the lisping prattle of a mother to her babe, who could not understand her words did she speak after any other manner. Brother Giles said once to a secular judge, "Dost thou believe that the gifts of God are great?" And the judge said, "I believe it." To which Brother Giles replied, "I will show thee that thou dost not truly believe it." And then he said to him, "What is the value of thy worldly possessions?" The judge answered, "Perhaps about 1,000 pounds. Then Brother Giles said, "Wouldst thou give this property to thine for 10,000 pounds? The judge answered with hesitation, "Assuredly I would do so willingly." Then Brother Giles said, "It is a thing most certain that all the possessions of this world are nothing worth in comparison with heavenly things. Wherefore then givest thou not these possessions of thine to Christ, that thou mayest purchase riches celestial and eternal?" Then the judge, being wise with the foolish wisdom of the world, made answer to the pure and simple Brother Giles, "Dost thou believe, Brother Giles, that there is any man whose outward acts accord perfectly with the measure of his internal belief?" Brother Giles replied, "Listen, my beloved, it is most certain that all the saints have truly striven to carry into effect to the utmost extent of their power all that they knew and understood to be the will of God. And those things which they were unable to effect in external act, they fulfilled by the holy desire of their will, which supplied their defect of power to perform the action." Said Brother Giles again, "If any man had perfect faith, he would soon arrive at perfection, and attain to a full assurance of his salvation. What harm or what injury could any temporal adversity in this present life do to the man who, with firm faith, looketh forward to that eternal and supreme and most perfect blessedness? And what can any prosperity or temporal good in this world avail the wretched man who looketh forward to eternal woe? Nevertheless, let no man, how sinful soever he be, despair so long as he liveth for the infinite mercy of God. Inasmuch as there is not a tree in the world so twisted and knotted and gnarled, but may be fashioned and polished and beautified by the hand of man, so likewise there is no man in this world so wicked and so sinful, but God can convert him and adorn him with singular graces and many gifts of virtue." Chapter 3 of Holy Humility. No man can attain to any knowledge or understanding of God but by the virtue of holy humility. For the direct way to ascend is first to descend. All the perils and grievous falls which have happened in this world have arisen from nothing else but the uplifting of the head, that is, of the mind, by pride. This is proved by the fall of the devil, who was driven out of heaven, and by that of Adam, our first parent, who was banished from paradise, by uplifting of his head, that is, by disobedience. We see it also in the example of the Pharisee, of whom Christ speaketh in the Gospel, and in many others also. And so also the contrary truth, namely, that all the great blessings which have ever been bestowed upon the world have proceeded from abasement of the head, that is, from the humiliation of the mind, is proved by example of the blessed and most humble Virgin Mary, the publican, the good thief on the cross, and many others in Holy Scripture. And therefore, good it were if we could find some great and heavy weight, which being tied round our neck would draw us down to the earth and force us to humble ourselves. A friar once said to Brother Giles, "Father, tell me, how can we avoid this pride?" To whom Brother Giles made this reply, "Rest assured, my brother, that thou canst never hope to be free from pride until thou hast first placed thy mouth where thou dost set thy feet. But if thou wilt well consider the gifts of God, thou wilt clearly see that thou hast reason to bow down thy head. And again, if thou wilt meditate on thy defects and thy manifold offenses against God, in all this thou wilt find reasons for humbling thyself. But woe to those who desire to be honored in their unworthiness. He hath one degree of humility, who knoweth himself to be opposed to his own true good. He hath a second, who restoreth the goods of another to their proper owner, and doth not appropriate them to himself. For every virtue and every good thing which a man findeth in himself, instead of appropriating it to himself, he is bound to refer to God, from whom all graces and all good things do proceed. But every sinful passion of the soul and every vice which a man findeth within himself, he should attribute to himself, considering that they all proceed from himself and his own malice, and from no other source. Blessed is the man who knows and accounts himself to be vile in the eyes of God, and also in the sight of men. Blessed is he who judges himself always and condemns himself, and none but himself, for he shall not be condemned in that last and terrible eternal judgment. Blessed is he who shall submit himself wholly to the yoke of obedience and the judgment of others, as the holy apostles before and after they received the Holy Spirit. Brother Giles said also, let him who would acquire and possess perfect peace and quiet of mind account every man his superior, and hold himself the inferior and subject to all. Blessed is the man who, in his works and in his words, desires neither to be seen nor known for anything else, but for that wherewith God hath adorned him. Blessed is the man who knows how to keep and hide within his heart divine revelations and consolations, for there is nothing so secret but God can reveal it when it pleaseth him. If the most holy and perfect man in the world were to esteem and account himself to be the vilest and most miserable sinner in the world, this would be true humility. Holy humility loves not to talk, nor the holy fear of God to use many words. Brother Giles said again, it seems to me that holy humility is like the thunderbolt, for even as the thunderbolt striketh a terrible blow, crushing, breaking, and burning that whereon it lights, yet can we never find the thunderbolt itself. So does humility strike and disperse, burn up and consume every evil and vice and sin, and yet itself can nowhere be seen. He who possesses humility, by that humility finds grace with God and perfect peace with his neighbor. Chapter 4 of the Holy Fear of God. He who fears not shows that he has nothing to lose. The holy fear of God orders, governs, and rules the soul and prepares it to receive his grace. If a man possesses any grace or any divine virtue, it is holy fear which preserves it to him, and he who has not yet acquired grace or virtue acquires it by holy fear. The holy fear of God is a channel of divine grace, inasmuch as it quickly leads the soul, wherein it dwells, to the attainment of holiness in all divine graces. No creature that ever fell into sin would have so fallen had it possessed the holy fear of God. But this holy gift of fear is given only to the perfect, because the more perfect any man is, the more timorous and humble he is. Blessed is the man who looks upon this world as his prison house, and bears in mind continually how grievously he has offended his Lord. Greatly ought a man to fear pride, lest it should give him a sudden thrust, and cause him to fall from the state of grace in which he is. For no man is ever secure from falling, so beset are we by foes. And these foes are the flatteries of this wretched world and of our own flesh, which, together with the devil, is the unrelenting enemy of our soul. A man has greater reason to fear being deluded and overcome by his own malice than by any other enemy. It is impossible for a man to attain to any divine grace or virtue, or to preserve therein without holy fear. He who has not the fear of God within him is in great danger of eternal perdition. The fear of God makes a man to obey humbly and to bow his head beneath the yoke of obedience, and the more a man fears God, the more frequently he adores him. The gift of prayer is no small gift to whomsoever it is given. The virtuous actions of men, how great soever they may seem to us, are not to be reckoned or rewarded after our judgment, but according to the judgment and good pleasure of God. For God looketh not to the number of works, but to the measure of humility and love. Our surest way, therefore, is always to love and to keep ourselves in humility, and never to trust in ourselves, that we do any good, but always to distrust the thoughts which spring up in our own mind under the appearance of good. Chapter 5 of Holy Patience.